Blog Talk Radio.
That we have to deal with. But does that mean that you don't have no family? Well, that's exactly what it can feel like for some people in some situations. Now, some situations are more extreme than others, but you have to deal with what's in front of you. And sometimes what's in front of you is not what you expect. You know, speaking of the word expect, expect is the root word of expectations. And expectations is something that a lot of us have for the way that our family should conduct themselves. Whether you're talking about the way that they should conduct themselves with each other or with you or in general, like what kind of family do you come from? Do you come from the type of family that you feel proud about? You know, everybody has people in their family that might require an explanation. It doesn't mean that your family is bad. It doesn't mean that they are the representative. And just like if you have a doctor in your family or a politician or somebody who is doing good things in the community. Does that represent your entire family? Well, we know that it doesn't because we've known doctors, we've known lawyers, we've known plenty of politicians who have had family members in their lives that they've had to defend because they've gone to jail, they've committed crimes, they've done things that definitely weren't a good reflection on the character that they were portraying. So, you know, our family isn't or aren't people that we get to choose from. But they are people that we choose, that we get a chance to choose who we deal with or who we acknowledge. Now, just because we take the power in acknowledging certain family members versus other family members, it doesn't mean that is 100% accurate, true, or even valid. Like just because you don't call somebody who really is your blood cousin your cousin doesn't mean that they're not your cousin. The same way that just because you don't call someone or Just because you call someone who isn't your blood cousin your cousin doesn't mean that they're your cousin. Your people aren't your family just because they treat you right, and people aren't out of your family because they treat you wrong. And but your family member doesn't have to be 100% representative of how you are or who you are. There's really nothing to be ashamed of. Even though somebody in your family may have committed a crime where they were getting put in the back of that police car and they had to hide their face. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm being put on blast like this. Well, when we make the declaration that I don't have no family, normally there are a lot of hurt feelings behind that. Hurt feelings. You know how it is when your family hurts your feelings. It can feel like a gut punch. It really can. It can feel like a really bad gut punch. It can feel like the biggest betrayal of all, because your family is supposed to be who you go and get when the rest of the world, who doesn't care about you, who doesn't have a blood or deoxyribonucleic acid DNA connection to you. You know, your family is supposed to be the ones that ride out for you. Somebody take your bike. You go get your brother, your sister, your cousin to come around and deal with them. Let's get your stuff back. That's what your family's supposed to be for, you know. Your last name. You know, it's a funny thing. And I'm not going to say that it isn't like this anymore, but, you know, it seems like when I was growing up, your last name held weight. It held weight. And it may have held weight in a lot of different ways. It may have held weight in your community. Oh, that's the Richardsons over there. Oh, those are the Johnsons over there. Oh, yeah, them boys over there, it's a bunch of them. They got a bunch of boys and some girls, too. The Taylors over there. Who you were, what your family's last name was, held weight. It may have rang bells in the local precinct, you know, at the police department. It may have rang bells with certain politicians. It may have rang bells with certain community members, you know, where they knew that they could get some help or where they knew they could get a resource to have something decent done. The same way as when somebody got in trouble. Oh, yeah, Ooh, there go those Jenkins. One of them Jenkins boys, oh boy, they always tied up in something. You know, families back in the day were big families. Now, eight, it wasn't nothing for a family, a mom and a dad to have eight, nine, ten kids between them. Big houses, small houses sometimes. Had to lap it up, had to bunk bed it up. They had to make sure that all floors in the house were occupied, from the basement to the attic. Shout out to people who had to climb up in the attic to go to sleep, to go to bed. Hey, you know, all attics and basements and garages wasn't used for storage. Sometimes they stored human living bodies in there, you know. Had to find room. You know, your place in the family was what it was. That's when being the oldest in your family was a big deal. It probably still is a big deal with some people, but it seemed like back in the day it was a big, big deal. It was a big, big deal. I'm the oldest in the family. So saying that you don't have no family wasn't such an easy thing to do, because you had to make a great escape in order to get away from your family. People recognize you. You couldn't just, you know, go down to the court of common pleas and get a name change. And you didn't get to pick and choose which side of the family that you wanted to represent, because both sides of the family were represented, very represented. Your mama's side of family, they came through, they did their thing, they knew you. Your dad's side of family, he came through, you know, aunts, uncles or whatever. You know, shout out to all of the people who had families where it didn't matter whether they was your blood aunt or uncle by marriage. Didn't matter. That's aunt such and such. You know, Hey, all aunts and uncles that got divorced or broke up or whatever the case may be, those aunts and uncles didn't always leave the family. It wasn't always possible to do it. Too many kids. So, yeah, that's, you know, maybe like, for example, like in my family, like my Aunt Liberta that my uncle married, you know, she passed away, but we never had a chance to look at my Aunt Berta as a non-blood family member. We didn't get a chance to do that, even though her first two children she had before my uncle. But it didn't matter. He raised them babies. He raised them girls. So I don't think that they knew any other father. I don't believe they did. And my family don't play. They don't care whether it's blood. Like, look, you got kids. You brought kids into the family. Them kids ain't no... If it ain't no such thing as a half-brother, it sure as the hell ain't no such thing as a half-cousin. We ain't no difference. So, you know, just because, you know, if the time comes along where you're not getting along with your family, it ain't easy to just break out of that situation. You can't just move down south and go to Florida or California, you know, because Florida and California are where people go to lose their identity, change their identity, become whoever the hell they want to be. Something about Florida, something about California. I don't know. Is it the Disneyland and Disney World or both? I don't know. But when we talk about I don't have no family, it's normally because your family didn't fulfill the expectations of family that you had for them. I get it. But is it ever the case that your entire family has abandoned you, turned their back on you, did you wrong, scorned you? It's normally not like that. It's not normally like that. Now, I can't speak for everybody or everybody or anybody's other situation. But from my observation, normally we pick and choose who we consider our family to be, especially when we get hurt the worst or the most. So that's what we're talking about tonight on the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show. I don't have no family. Y'all ain't my people. You know what I mean? Blood family will do you worse than your friends will. Friends sometimes act like better family than your blood family. Many of us have said it. Many of us mean it. Many of us have said it for other people and ourselves. Is it 100% true? Is it consistent? Probably not. Everybody got a favorite cousin. So I don't have no family except for Owen. It's a problem in the black community with our fathers. You know, we ain't got enough daddies. And so many of us don't know our father's side of the family. Sometimes we know a few people over on that side, and sometimes we don't know anybody on that side. Sometimes it's the situation where our mothers have gotten married to a man, and sometimes he adopted us. Cal Chamberlain, thank you so much for that super sticker. Yay! Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Appreciate it mucho. But sometimes mommy married one of our brothers and sisters, fathers. You know how it is. We don't always have the same mom and dad in the black family. And the white family too, but I ain't talking about them. I'm talking, you know, when I say us, I mean us. And our family, we are very used to having, you know, multiple children by multiple fathers or whatever, because there are multiple situations that you may find yourself in your life. But sometimes it can pose a problem. You know, different last names. You know, I've had this, y'all know my stance. You know my stance on, and if you don't know my stance on children's last name, I believe that all children should carry their father's last name. I don't care whether he's in their lives or not. Now, that's a judgment call. And I've been argued down about this time and time again. Don't matter. That's what I think. That's how I feel. And I have good reasons to feel that way. But I've heard arguments about you know, it makes it easier, you know, when it makes it easier for identification. So if the dad's not around, then they should carry the mother's name and blah 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 blah. Well, I have my personal feelings on that. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes in order for mommy to get welfare and other kinds of services, if the question comes up, well, where's the dad? Well, you know, it can pose a problem. So you had to act like he wasn't there. Sometimes when he was there, you had to act like he wasn't there. Now, I'm not talking about every situation. Every situation wasn't a situation like Claudine, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, we have to do whatever we have to do to get by, get through, get around, be down. So anyway, so when you have multiple kids, multiple fathers, or multiple mothers, you know, when all of the kids, or most of the kids, are really half brothers, half sisters, and all of that, you know, you got different last names and things like that, and let's say mommy marries one of the men, or marries two, you know. He might have held all of the kids down. Maybe he adopted the ones that were there in the beginning or whatever, planted his own. So mommy came in with three. He added on another two or three. They all took on his last name. Now, if they didn't have a connection to their father and he adopted them, so they took on his last name, hopefully it all went well. You know, certain situations like this can become a problem because you know, that's an adoption is not a bloodline. It's a very good way to raise a child, and it's an altruistic way to keep a family going. But that child is not of that man or woman or family's blood background. So what happens when one of the other family members of the non-blood family is attracted to this child as they get older? Well, yeah, we cousins, but there's no blood. Is it wrong? And unfortunately, these are some of the scenarios that we have to deal with. Well, yeah, we cousins, but I never met them at the family reunion before, and you know, keep it real. I'm not a blood Richardson. And he might, or she might be. So the baby is going to come out healthy. Because we only, now, this is the time when we really can pick and choose who's a cousin. So you know how in jail certain brothers are gay for the stay? Like, I'm not really gay, but I had to be gay in jail because I had to get my shit off. So you was gay for the stay. Well, maybe only family for the situation. Like when I want to, if I want to get with Shonda, I can actually do that. Cause we ain't really family. We kind of family. And I don't mess with the other side of my real family. They ain't real. I don't even know them like that. Like, I know my grandmama name was, and my grandfather name was, I know my grandfather left my grandmama when we was young, and they had another father, and he was down. That's all I know. We don't get to choose how our family is set up. And much to our chagrin, a lot of times we don't agree with how our family is set up or how they conduct themselves. But for us to say that they ain't our family and we ain't got no family, there's probably some deep hurt there. Now, how do we get hurt to that level? All right. Mia says, family can, has, and will get disowned. Nope. TK Wright says, you use my dad's last name and Poppy's last name. Well, really? Was it Richardson? Let's see. I use Richardson, Taylor, Jenkins. Damn, it's funny. I didn't use... Oh, Johnson's. Wow. I didn't use Williams and Brown, but Jackson. Brown. Richardson and Johnson. You know what? I use the names of the families that I... The big families that I knew from around the way growing up. The Richardsons lived over there on McKean Ave, and the Johnsons lived up there on Hansberry Street. The Fords lived on my mom's street. The Corbins lived across the street from us. The Birdsongs, speaking of families that were notorious, you know, or very well known by the police department, the Birdsongs was on fire. They made national news headlines at times. For crimes. But all of the families on my block that I grew up with, they were big families. I didn't know it was like none of the families except for us had less than six kids minimum. You know what I mean? We was all on some eight is enough type. Well, eight is the standard. And true to form, even though I didn't realize it back in the day, a lot of those kids, most of those families, they didn't all have the same dad, but they were known as that. See, in the black community, we don't always go to court in order to adopt somebody. If I love you, guess what? You mine. That's how it goes a lot of times in the black family. I love your mom. I love the kids. I married your mom, sometimes legally, sometimes by God. Whatever the case may be, I took care of all y'all. That's adoption in the hood. On the books, off the books. Ain't nobody got time to be doing all that shit. If I love you, then you mine. I love you. I love your mom. Guess what? You my son. You my daughter. That's how I go. That's how I go. Is that always the way it goes? No. For everybody? No. But that's often how we did it like that. Yeah. Truth be told, it's still how a lot of us do it, but the families just aren't as big as they used to be. There used to be a lot of kids. What you mean you only got two or three kids? Well, where they do that? You know, we came, a lot of our families came from down south. You know, you come from down south, y'all migrate all the way up here? For you to declare that you ain't got no family with you? What? Man, you must be crazy. That ain't going to play out in the Carolinas. Wait till I go back there to Columbia. He talking about something. He ain't got no family. Wait till I go to his family and find out. He said he ain't got y'all no more. Or she. You know what I mean? Ansel Jones says, birthday parties with four different fathers and baby mothers. I've never seen, I can honestly say I've never seen a party like that. But she's got a habit party. I ain't never seen it. Normally, whoever is the reigning father, whoever is the champion father, that's who runs the parties. You might get, you know, another dad come through, but there ain't going to be no. Because if it was all like that, and you know, pardon me for saying this, but if it was all like that where everybody, where all the fathers were involved like that, then – Yeah, let me just say it ain't normally like that from what I've seen. Maybe in a movie or something like that, but on the streets. Most men I know ain't having that anyway. Like, well, if all the mother fathers going to be there, then we need that. We ain't having it at this house. I ain't got nothing against him. I'm glad that he's in the kids' lives and all of that kind of stuff. But my people ain't going to be here and have all it's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? Most niggas ain't going for that. Like me and three other baby fathers, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's making my mom look like some kind of hoe. Ain't going to happen. It ain't their child anyway. Like, we have to have it at another venue or something like that. In this house, there's only room for one baby father. Max two. Two. So if he's that involved in his child's life, then he should have the party at his house. And I'll come. It might not sound totally right. But from what I know, it's totally real. Mia says, agree. The child should have his father's last name, in my opinion. Okay. TK, right. Okay. And so Joe says, I met three cousins in the military. We lived in the same city and never met. It happens. It happens. Good thing y'all was on the same military. I hate to meet them overseas. I shot three cousins in World War II. God damn it. I never knew that grandmama was involved with an Afghan. Who knew my cousins were terrorists? Who knew? I just hope the Lord can forgive me when I get to heaven. When I shot my Iraqi cousin. All right, anyway. Cal said, no, Omar. Yeah, I know. Cal said, it can happen, Ansel. Lots of families find each other in strange ways. Yeah, at least you didn't meet him in jail. How about that? At least that's not the way you met him. Mia said, ooh, the bird songs? Talk about a family. Then you knew them too? They lived on my block in the early 70s. The bird song, yo, everybody, you know them. Damn. And it's always them bird songs. Every time I heard about the bird songs, you know, somebody doing something, you know, some criminal behavior, because it was always criminal behavior. It was the same bird songs. You'd be like, yeah, remember the bird songs that used to live on our block? Yo, they done this, they done this. You know, they killed somebody over here. There was a standoff over here. Yo. I'm feeling like a snitch for putting it out there now. Public information. Hold on. I see that we have a call on the line. And so it says, that's funny. We met at the barbecue. Good. We have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number is 4605. Welcome to the Daily Go Get It Mism Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind tonight, my brother, my mellow, my man? What's good?
How you feeling tonight?
Feeling like a real man should. I'm talking about...
That 12-1, huh? But... Yeah, that's crazy. Speaking about what you were saying about the three different baby daddies at a party, just go down to two different baby daddies at a party. How come the baby daddies could be at the party, but the baby mamas, they can't be at the party together? You ever seen that?
I'm not saying that the baby daddies could be at the party. I said they couldn't.
Right, but I'm saying, but they could.
I kind of have seen the baby. I have seen the baby, the different baby moms at the party. I have seen that.
You seen the rumble?
Huh?
You seen the rumble?
It didn't always turn out that way. I've seen some unorthodox. Listen, I've seen situations where the baby moms all kind of got together because they, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they each have an agenda. They want their child to be taken care of. So the stupid baby moms are the ones that encourage a man not to take care of his other children. Like, that's not going to be you in a little while. A smart baby mom would tell you, yeah, definitely pay your child support. Definitely spend time with those children. Make sure that the kids all know each other so they don't be fucking each other later on. Make sure of that. Do that. That's what a smart baby mom is. But the silly ratchet, silly, you know, the stupid baby mom, the jealous baby mom, like, well, you know, like, yeah, why would you want to blah, 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 blah. You got to be a silly baby mom to tell your baby father not to take care of his other children, but take care of yours. Because it's going to be you in a little while. Because most men will be like, so you say it's okay for me not to take care of my other responsibilities, just take care of my current ones? As if the other ones aren't current. But anyway, like, okay. A lot of men going to take that bait. Like, okay.
I knew this girl, and, you know, she messed with this guy. This guy had 10 kids, and she turned around to be in her 40s and had a kid by him. And I'm like, yo, the boy got 10 kids that don't take care of the 10 kids, so what makes you think he going to spend time with your 11th kid coming? Like, what's the difference? Like, I'm not understanding. You think that you're going to change him. Now, if he didn't take care of the first 10, what makes you think he's going to take care of the one more that's coming? Like, what do you got that the other chicks don't got? And they've been in his life, you know, they like way longer than you.
He might be in denial that all six are his. He may lay claim to like three or four, but he on the fence about five and six or seven, because he's about to add on seven, right? He's about to add on the seven.
No,
one, right?
11.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's a funny thing about men who have 10 or 11 kids. They always claim that they take care of all of their kids. I've never seen a besides Nick Cannon or somebody, I've never seen a man that was rich enough to take care of or active enough to take care of 10 or 11 kids. But my dad did it. But when I think about it, my dad kind of didn't do it. Like, he did, except for two. And the two were removed from him. So he didn't... He might have started to take care of them, but somewhere along the line, in their most formative years, he wasn't around because they weren't around. Their moms removed them from the situation. I guess it started to get a little heated. You know what I mean? Well, it is what it is.
But see, that's the thing about it, though. You know, like, sometimes it ain't always the dad's fault. You know what I mean? It's the parents' fault, the mother's fault, or what they don't want they child around and this and that and take it away, you know. But, you know, like they say, a woman can't teach a man, a woman cannot teach a man how to be a man.
You mean a boy?
Yeah, a boy. A boy, okay, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But you
think that? Do you think that a woman can't teach a boy how to be a man?
That your mom was in the street and book smart at the same time? Yeah, I think she can. But if your mom was just a home, like a go-to-work mom and, you know, pay the bill mom and stay in the house, no. But if your mom, like I said, your mom was in the street and plus book, plus working like that, you know, all around woman where, you know, bring the bacon home and fry it in the pan type of chick, and then got the AK-47 at the door waiting in case a nigga come and act stupid. Yeah, I could think she could teach him.
You have an interesting view of what manhood is.
Hey,
I'll tell you this. Like, I don't know if a woman can teach a boy how to be a man, but I know that only a woman can teach a boy how to be the kind of man that a woman would want. A man can't do that.
No.
If a woman is a responsible woman, if she's a forward-thinking woman, she can show that man how to be the kind of man that a woman would really love, value, and be loyal and respectful towards. A man can't do that, you know. Now,
but wait, wouldn't that type of man be a soft man and not a hard man? Like, when I mean soft, like soft, you know, flowers, this, that, you know, a Brooks Brothers suit and all this. And then create somebody with some, you know, some two-tone leaves with some shell tops, with the Kango on, with the gold rope being all hard.
Well, I don't think that because you are connected to the streets or crime or violence, that's not my definition of manhood. My definition of manhood is being responsible, is being holding yourself accountable. Having integrity. It's for setting an example that, you know, for other kids, whether it would be your siblings, your younger siblings, or other children in the community. That's what my example and my view of manhood is. It doesn't have anything to do with being able to fight or whatever. I mean, as far as protection is concerned, that matters. But just being able to, you know, be all aggressive and hard and all of that, that's not what my view of manhood is. So, you know, but I don't want to get too far off, because what we're talking about is family. And when you declare that you don't have no family, what brings a person to the point where they don't acknowledge their family anymore, where they don't feel like they are part of a family anymore? What gets people to that point?
The same old bullshit that you've been putting up with for all your life. Like, be honest with you, you know, my sister. Like, I don't bang with my sister, and you know, she's been doing the same thing since she was 16. She up in her 40s now. You know, mm-hmm. Not to put, you know, stuff out there, but you know, she went around and told everybody it was over a couple of dollars. It ain't over a couple of dollars, but I don't talk to you no more. But this ain't your family. Like, don't come around me with when you want to borrow something, but when you get something, you don't think about me. So it's like, yo, we ain't got to be family, even though that you my little sister, you know, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you know, it make you not want to be family. Then the people say, oh, you only got, you know, you know, you got to take care of your sisters. And you got, no, dog, when that love come back to you? You know what I mean? Like, when did the stuff that you do come back to you? You know, and a lot of people can't understand, like, the stuff that do. Like, when my mom died, I was there. Took her to go get clean. You know, you got five kids. Dice is a motherfucker. Dice was offering me $5,000 for five kids in a house in New Brunswick. I had to go get a clearance check. You know what I mean? Like, they said, go fill out this health form and get the doctor to sign it. My doctor bought this shit up and put it in the trash can and walked away. Like, I just told you, I just got your heart together. You think I'm going to let you go around five kids? So it's like, yo, you mad at me because you couldn't do the things that you was supposed to do. And here it is. I'm trying to help you. And I get burnt. Like, come on, fam. Like, where can we ever be family and put that family back together like that? It can't.
Okay. And I agree with what you're saying. Well, what happens when the person who is the bad guy is the one that is complaining that they don't have no family, or their family ain't doing what they supposed to do? You know, sometimes people are very selfish, and they have these extra high expectations of what their family is supposed to do for them. Like, some people believe that their family is supposed to carry them. Like, I shouldn't have to work. or get my own place or any of those things like that. My family should take care of me like that. My people should catch me when I fall, but they don't do anything to make sure that they stay up. You understand what I mean? So there can be good people or responsible people that feel like family ain't family or that they don't have no family. And there can also be selfish, opportunistic family members who feel the same way. They think that their family is supposed to take care of them. Like whoever in the family is making the most money should always be the one lending out money or giving out money. Well, you got it. You know what I mean? I don't know why you being so stingy. You know what I mean? You should look out. You should help out. Never, I should get my shit together. I should get my own. I should be a better example to my family. I should be a better example to my kids. And, you know, some people just don't look at it that way. So there are two sides of the coin. By the way, if anybody calls in, if you want to speak, you have to press number one. So that will let me know that you would like to speak. You got to press number one. If you don't press number one, I think that you're just listening to the show because you can do that. All right. So, yeah. So those are things that you have to take into consideration also. You know, it ain't always the good guys that are complaining. Sometimes the bad guys are complaining too. And they'll be quick to paint the narrative. Oh, yeah, you know, the reason I don't rock with my family no more is because they just, you know, when I went to jail, you know, they acting like we was the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family or something like that. And they just disown me. They just act like I wasn't this, that, and the third and all of that. And that ain't the way it happened. That ain't the way it happened. That ain't always the way it happened. But sometimes or a lot of times, that same mentality that got you locked up for years and years is the same mentality that you had when you was out there on the street, which is why you can't stay out there on the street. But you blame everybody out on the streets for putting you in the box. But you don't want in the box.
Because everybody in their family, everybody got a Skeeter. You know what it is? You remember Skeeter? What is it? I think his name was Skeeter from Jungle Fever, the one who used to come around and dance, and they used to give him money and put him.
Everybody got a
Skeeter in their family, and you keep feeding them and feeding them and feeding them, you know what I mean, until you get tired where you got to cut them off, you know what I mean? And it's like, yo, when do you ever get that break back, though? Like, you don't get it, like, it don't come back.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing when you're talking about somebody disowning their family or declaring that they don't have no family. I mean, then you got to think about the level of hurt that has to be behind that, because your family is. I mean, you were born into your family. You didn't get introduced to your family later on in life. They're the ones who raised you. So many of the values that you hold, the things that you do, and the way that you handle the situations that you're involved in come straight from the way that you were taught to do in your family, by your family. So for you to totally want to, you know, tear down that whole system, disown all of those values, the good and the bad. You know, there has to be some serious emotional trauma that's associated with that, because it's inconsistent. Like I said, even people who claim that they don't have no family, they still will acknowledge their favorite cousin. Or, you know, it's just like when you like your mom's side of the family more than your dad's side of the family, because you knew your mom's side of the family. They held it down for you, and you may not have known your dad's side of the family that well. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you might choose to say, well, I don't, you know, I take after my mom's side of the family. I'm a Adams. My mom's side of the family are the Adams. I take after the Adams. You don't know how much you take after the father's side of the family. You might not know, you know? So, but we can pick and choose legally, but the bloodline is there. The characteristics are there.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully the reason to acknowledge is there too. It just isn't always there, you know? So it's a little tough. It's a little tough. It can be a little tough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I know you're about to kick me off because it's about that time. So you're like, all right, I got to get out of here.
Right, you got to go. You got to go. You ain't my real family. You know, you was not playing with you. You my dog. As a matter of fact, hold on for a second because I see we have another caller on the line. Caller with the last number, you know, this number is blocked, so let me see. Caller with the unknown number, welcome to the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this evening?
Yeah, good evening. I just have a couple of observations. This is a good topic, very interesting topic. I would just say regarding family, family is a double-edged sword, sort of. It can be very, very important, and family can also be a ball and chain, without a doubt. And this is particularly true for people who attempt to be or who desire to be successful. And not only family, but close friends, they can really hold you back because, you know, the old thing that will be leveled at one is, well, you think you're better than us. And I've met numerous people of all ethnicities who have the same observation, is that when they seek to be better, family is not often there, family or friends. Hence, one can actually live on less than they need to. And so when one wants to do much better than the family has ever experienced or known, that can create a conflict, and it often does.
So you made some interesting points. I wonder, like, exactly what does successful mean? You know, like, you know, certain people's view of what successful might mean or being successful might mean leaving everybody behind. It could be a form of selfishness in order to establish the oneself, or it could be successful in trying to spread the ball around, like, you know, maybe developing a company to where everybody can flourish and prosper and have a little and have something for themselves and have an example set that they could continue with their own part of the family or community. So there are different ways of looking at it, but you'd be hard pressed to find. I mean, we probably all know of the example where the basketball player or the football player went on to make millions of dollars, you know, in their respective art or sport or whatever. And then family, cousins, and sometimes their own dad comes into the picture later on with their hands out. We all know of that situation. But even with those situations, you'd be hard pressed to find any of those people who didn't have their moms behind them. You know, that was the one who sent them to those camps where they learned how to perfect their game, made sure that they had the uniform, went to practices, and set up the whole situation where they were able to be in position to enjoy that type of success or to experience that type of success. And your mom is your family, and your brothers and your sisters, even if they don't all rock with you the same way, they're still your family. You probably had cousins, aunts, uncles, and everybody. You had somebody on both sides of the family that you probably liked. So I guess what I'm saying is it's hard to pick and choose which ones you like and then just throw everybody away and then declare that they're none. The numbers count, whether it's one or 100, they count. So, you know, and also when we start talking about success, you know, some people believe that the only way to be successful is to get rid of everybody. You know, like, I mean, when you look at a lot of people who have made millions or billions of dollars, you'll find a lot of people who were jerk, cheated, stolen from and all kinds of other negative things in their wake. You know, you look at Jay-Z. You got a whole list of artists that says, you know, he didn't pay me, or I didn't get this, or I got a bad contract, or my project was shelved. Same thing with Sean Puffy Combs. I'm sure with Oprah, you're not going to find everybody in her business history that says Oprah always paid on time and she always paid well and she never jerked anybody.
Right. May I respond to some of that? You've thrown out a lot of information there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, see, first of all, I don't like to use I don't think it's a good practice to use celebrities to make a point. Sometimes it can be, but in general it's not, because they live an alternate lifestyle. Now, what I was basically getting at is with the average person, when they commence to seek success, a lot of times what has kept the family afloat in prior years doesn't work anymore. In other words, behaviors and practices have to change. One of the things that I do when encouraging people to seek wealth is that they may have to leave their local area. They may have to leave their town. They may have to leave their city. They may have to leave their state. They may even have to leave the country. And that's okay when you're young. I guess you're familiar with the Horace Greeley admonition, go west, young man, go west. So all I'm saying is, depending on the amount of goods and resources, just like grass for animals, if there has to be enough grass, otherwise they have to migrate unless they plan on starving or just living a subsistence life. So this is what I'm basically talking about, where the average person can expand their abilities and talents to provide them what they need. Now, you ask for a definition of success. That's very important. And before any two intelligent people can have, quote unquote, an intelligent conversation, they must define their terms. So I would just define success generally or basically as having sufficient assets to meet all of one's needs and most of one's wants. I think that's a good practical definition of success. Now, that takes a lot of work, because what I just said, even though it was easy to say it, it takes years to bring that to fruition. And I'm just simply saying, you know, without referencing the stars, the mega rich people, because they live in the rarefied air. I'm talking about a person, just a generally good person with good morals who wants to get ahead in life, what they need to do. And a lot of times people aren't willing to put in the work. One other thing. I talk to young men and women about putting in a minimum of 60 hours a week and up to 70 or 80 hours a week. And what that does is that put one ahead of the curve. Now, everybody's not going to do that. Just like if we want to talk about the top athletes, everybody is not going to work out hard enough to be the stellar athlete. And that's okay, because people will move to the area that their knowledge, skills, and abilities will allow them. And since there are some people who won't do that, I always consider that an advantage, because I'm a very competitive person, and that's one of the things it takes to be successful, is to be very competitive and play by the rules for the most part, but be very, very competitive. So those are some observations that I just could offer.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The only thing about it is, you know, we can disagree and also agree partially on what success may be. But going back to the whole celebrity thing, I consider celebrities to be real people just like you and I, because most of them come from humble beginnings. You know, they didn't start out. They didn't, you know, especially in the black celebrities, They didn't start out rich. They didn't start out, you know, privileged. Many of them, you know, they had a skill, a talent or whatever that they honed over the years, and they worked on it. It worked out and they did well, and they made a good business decisions, and boom, you know, but they are our most visible examples of what wealth is. And I, you know, personally, I feel like if you're not looking for generational wealth, I don't know what you're looking for. Now, generational wealth doesn't mean that you have to have millions of dollars, but it means that you're crossing over your family from one generation to the next generation to the next generation with good values, with good ways of being able to maintain, sustain your financial position, a good financial position, and being able to instill within your family good ways of being able to take care of themselves. So whether you do that with $900,000 or whether you do that with $1 million or whether you do that with multiple millions, you know, we're talking about whether you do it with six, seven, or eight or more figures than that, that's up to you. That's a judgment call. But
let me ask you a quick question. Why do you juxtapose? It appears that you juxtapose, or maybe you didn't, personal wealth to generational wealth. I mean, one has to have personal wealth first, and certainly it can morph into generational wealth. But it seems to me, at least the way I interpreted that, you were saying generational wealth is more important than personal wealth. I didn't quite understand that.
Oh, because
unpack that for me.
In the black community, we don't have generational wealth. We have a bunch of personal wealth that dissipates after we're gone. So, you know, mommy and daddy made $1 million, and then the kids don't have nothing. They have something, but they never learn how the money gets made, so they just spend all of the money. It's like getting an inheritance after your mom or your dad or your grandparents die. So they left you with a couple of $100,000. You didn't know how to make the money, but you had, let's say you had you were left with $250,000. You went out, bought a Benz, a BMW, a brand new house, and blew the rest of the money. Now all the money is gone. And the generational wealth is gone too. So we don't concentrate on generational wealth. We only concentrate on what we have right now, and that's why it doesn't cross over, and that's why we're last on the socioeconomic scale consistently.
Well, I would say some people don't, because every ethnic group in America has an elite class, okay? And I'm sure you are cognizant of that. But I think that one of the reasons is that people are afraid to talk about wealth. People will talk about their sex and personal lives before they'll talk about economics. And so that's a cultural problem that is relevant here in the U.S. It's prevalent, rather, and relevant. But that is just, like, say, for example, a quick example, in schools, they don't teach personal finance. So that's one of the most important things that a person encounters. Now, I started out in accounting. I took accounting and, of course, a lot of business courses. And they only teach you how to balance the books mainly for corporations. But an individual is a corporation too, and
right.
That's the way the country was originally set up, is to protect
right.
a person's, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And part of that is certainly finances. Without finances, one is immobile. It's like having a fantastic vehicle, a Rolls Royce or whatever, and there's no gasoline to fill the tank. It's just a hunk of junk, right? So I would say that more people should gather the courage to really talk about what's really, really important, which are finances. They say that's the major reason for divorce is finances, problem in the financial area. So anyway. Yes.
Well, see, like I said, you know, I only concern myself with the black family and the black situation. So we can't lump ourselves into the same conversation that other cultures are able to amalgamate themselves into. We can't it doesn't apply to us. It's like
well, may I comment on that?
Well actually I can't, because we're at the end of the show. You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
All right.
You know, tune in every
okay.
night. You know, because we can pick this up tomorrow. I don't mind picking up from one show to the next one. Call in tomorrow and we can continue this conversation. 7 o'clock.
All right. Can I make one quick statement, or you're completely out of time?
Well, we are, but go ahead, as long as you make it quick.
I would have to give you a little bit of pushback on that, or a lot of pushback. I mean, everybody in the U.S., the beautiful thing, they speak the same language. They have the same opportunities if they will avail themselves of it. I pay a lot of taxes to the local community college, and anyone can go to community college, enroll, and get a trade or use that as a foundation for a four-year degree. So I'm not a person who makes a lot of excuses, by the way. And I would just say, knowing the language, knowing the culture, or learning the culture is a great benefit to anyone who wants to get ahead, as opposed to just complaining and being a victim.
Sir, does everybody in this country speak the same language?
Well, English is the dominant language, and all I'm saying is that everybody can go to school and improve their condition if they have the motivation to. Do you disagree with that?
I totally disagree. I know for a fact that that's not true.
Really? I will call back just to hear that, and let's see. I think I have your show pegged here. Yeah, I'll call back because I would enjoy hearing you expound on that.
All right, tomorrow, 7 p.m.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Good caller. I like the discourse. All right, let's do these birthday shout-outs, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. December 12th, and they deserve to be acknowledged, so let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Naima Wimberly. Turning 44 years old today. I'm reading Norris and T. Carey Rice's last comments. Okay. And also Dawn Lewis, turning 48 years old today. And Reno Rex, happy birthday to you. And Sharice Parrish, happy birthday to you. And Yvette Camara, happy birthday to you. And Debbie Sutherland, turning 49 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Debbie. And Diane Robinson, turning 56 years old today, and Tasha Cannon, turning 49 years old today, and Yaina Irel Acosta, turning 31 years old today, and Dahomey Radigan, happy birthday to you, and Charlene Kunta Jones, she's a go-getter, turning 38 years old today, and last but not least, my girl Donna Bowen. Happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all y'all and anyone else out there who shares his birthday on his glorious. December 12th. I hope that today finds you a good, healthy in his mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. A rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, family. It's something that you can't see, H-O-O-S-E. You are chosen by your family. And, you know, it's very sad when I hear somebody declare or claim that they don't have no family. even though I think that it's very inconsistent, and I think that sometimes it just comes out of immediate hurt feelings. Nonetheless, it's a strong feeling, and there may be strong evidence to support it. And even if the evidence isn't all that strong, that's the way you feel, and that's the way you want to carry it out. Now, what if 100 people, 100 family members do the same thing? So none of y'all ain't got no family? Come on, man. We got to have family. We got to have our family. Yeah. But love is love, man. I hope that everybody gets their familial situation together. But we have to understand that just like lovers in our lives, we have to accept some of the things, a lot of the things that our family has given us. You know what I mean? We can't always pick and choose what we like to be exactly what we have or what we accept. Yeah, sometimes we have to accept things that we don't like that much. You know, anybody who has bills, anybody who has monthly payments understands this. It should be easy to understand that. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get 'Emism show. I want y'all to have a great night, no exceptions. We starting off this week the way we supposed to start it off. So, Blog Talk, let me get you out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah.